Turn with me, Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah 55. It's going to be a little scattered unless the Lord gets it in, but he can do that. And Isaiah 55, and let's see here. I'm not going to deal with all of it. Let's go ahead and read all 13 verses. Isaiah 55. Verse number 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat, and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Just a little point there. I know that's dealing with Israel, but the inclination of your ear to the Word, because we're going to be talking about the Word. You know, you go to the some of these mountain places, and they have what the incline. You know, a little tram. There's one down in Chattanooga, takes you, you know, to the top of the world or whatever. One thing, another, an inclination like Moses turned to see the burning bush. Oftentimes, our ears will be turned and drawn to a noise. We, you know, hear a commotion outside, hear the sirens pull up in our neighborhood, and it gets us up out of our chair. We see what's going on because of what we heard. Right. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. So it's very important when it comes to the Word of God.
Amen.
That we have an ear to hear. Yes. And that we actually lean with a purpose toward the hearing of the Word of God. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's repentance, folks. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for the day. Thank you for these days and all that we've heard. And the Word of God that's been preached to us, and many have heard and departed, and Lord, but some are here that's heard all the messages throughout these days, and I think I have folks in Oklahoma listening into the services as well, and I thank you for that. Pray and ask that you would, Lord, as according to the Scripture that we just read, your Word will not return void, and we thank you that, and we pray that you will accomplish in the hearts and the lives of men, women, boys, and girls, all that you would have accomplished in our lives through these the words these days. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You can be seated. All right. So I was drawn to verses 10 and 11, since it is one sentence. Amen. But as I was going through here, we done made mention of verse 3, the inclination of our ear to the word, but then seeking the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. But then he goes on to say, and let him return unto the Lord, and he shall have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And I, one of the things is I want to go back, and we're going to deal with 10:11 and go to John 17 here in a moment, but the fact that he uses the word Lord and God in that verse, in verse number 7, and there's two aspects of what he does as Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and then the aspect he does in this verse as God. But he mentions two different names for God in one verse, and what he does with the Lord, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So we see the mercy of the Lord and the pardon of God. It's the same person. But as we look upon this, one of the things that stood out to me with the Word of God, because we are looking at the Word of God and what the Word of God is here, the fact that we've heard so much, one of the things of working here for those many, many years, and, you know, hearing just message after message after message through the morning show, and you know, he was constantly hearing of the word and just allowing it to work or not. But sometimes you hear it and you just don't incline my ear to it. But sometimes it would grab a hold of you and it would pull you into the message, because, you know, lots of times when you work around it, you just kind of learn how to block it. And but sometimes something would be said and it'll pull your ear into it. But the facets of the Word of God. The facets of God. And the 66 books and the 1,189 chapters, I know certain people's rings got updated recently. And I thought about when I was thinking about this, Mrs. Hall had a fan pull chain when they had the fan in the living room before the damage and it was taken down. But had a little pull on it that was just a little faceted piece of crystal there, and kids and even myself from time to time would play with that thing. And if you see, you go to some of these places, furniture company that I worked with some time ago, it looks like it's cut like a great big diamond. It'll be, you know, different colored glass, but it'll be about that big around, about that tall, different sizes. But there's different faces of this stone. And that's the 66 books. And on the face, each face sometimes have got a different facet cut. And that's the chapters. And I got to thinking about that in light of the word Lord here and in light of the word God in the same verse, and the mercy of the Lord and the pardon of God, as we look into His Word and we learn of Him, as we look into each chapter, as you turn that stone, I updated my ring on my 25th anniversary, got me some diamonds, but there's nothing like the diamonds of her updated ring. But as you look at these, at the diamond or some other cut stone, you know, you can kind of angle it in different ways, and you see the flat parts of the stone and the brilliance in the light as each facet pulls that light in. And as we look into the Word, as we look into the Word of God in comparison to what I just said there, that faceted stone, as we look each chapter and we purposely have a desire and a design to look into the Word of God that way, to learn of Him in all of His ways. It says His ways are not our ways, but throughout the Word of God, He gives us glimpses of His brilliance, if you want to put it that way. On Wednesday night, I said this Sunday night, our church is going through elemental theology. And, of course, Mr. Bancroft's book starts off with bibliology. And I like his reasoning behind his doing that, because all that we believe on God, theology, and all that we believe on Christ, Christology, and all that we believe on the Holy Spirit, pneumatology, and all the other ologies in that book goes back to bibliology.
Right.
There has to be the foundation.
Yep.
There has to be something that you can put your faith into. And one of the things that I appreciate, you know, in Mr. Bancroft's book, as we are using it to guide us in our study there, is the fact that, you know, the archaeological evidences of the Word of God, the historical evidences of the Word of God, the geographical evidences of the Word of God. You know, the Word of God says that there was a nation and it was between these rivers. You can go there and there's that nation between those rivers. Imagine that. There was a people that, you know, in a certain region of the earth, and you can go and archaeologically find that there was a people in that particular part of the earth. You know, and the scientific evidences in the Word of God, the water cycles and so on and so forth, long before the, you know, the scientists as we know it caught up, it was already here in the Word of God. So we can put our faith in the Word of God, what it says about all this other stuff. So if we can do that, then we can put our faith in the Word of God, what it says about God.
Amen.
What it says about Christ. What it says about salvation. What it says about the end times.
Right.
When he says heaven and earth will pass away, it's going to pass away.
Right.
When he says he's gone and he's coming back, hallelujah, we can put our faith in that. Just one of the, and I checked on it this morning. There was a lady, most of the people that's been in my church, Brother McBride over here knows. Lady's got rheumatoid arthritis, crippled up with it. And joints twisted, knees, fingers. And she was having some real difficulty. And she said, I just heard this morning as we checked on her. She, of course, I encouraged them. I mean, look, we can believe the Word of God.
Right.
And it says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Why can't we believe that?
Right.
We believe it for salvation.
Amen.
Why can't we believe it for the saving of the healing of the sick?
Right.
And so I kind of presented it that way, and she testified. Apparently, she said, I've testified a whole lot this past week, last Sunday, in the fact that she had to ask the Lord to increase her faith and ask forgiveness for her lack of faith. But in doing so, she called for the elders of the church. And we anointed her according to the scripture. And I told my men in the men's prayer room, I said, we're going to do this at the end of the services this morning, but and I'm going with the way that Brother Hall used to do it here. That's my example. Brother Hall, I've heard from time to time, he used to be in there, from time to time, when they called for the elders of church here, Brother Hall would say, all right, men, we're going to come and we're going to pray over this need. They've called for the elders of church to come and pray. But if you don't have the faith, then just stay in your seat.
Yep.
And that's not necessarily a condemnation, but why go through the exercise if you don't have the faith? And I told my men that. I said, look, in the prayer room, I said, we got some men that's been down the road that's seasoned, if you want to put it that way, and we've got some younger believers. So there was five of us men. And we anointed her and prayed over her. And it's been 3 weeks ago, maybe two, 3 weeks ago. And she is going she's getting better all the time, and she's off a lot of the medicines that she's on, and she's just praising the Lord for the strength that God's given her and what she's doing, how good she's doing. She's praising the Lord over that. But I said all that to say this, look, it's in the Word of God. Let's just believe it. Not only believe it, let's put it into motion. Let's exercise our faith. We heard about faith in works these last several days.
Yep.
Let's put our, some faith in shoe leather and practice it.
Amen.
Just the simplicity of the practice. He said he would not return. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud. So there's the growth of the plant, the whole it bring forth in bud. Then the next step was that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So the sowing and reaping, these last several days it's been exactly that. This is missions conference, sowing and reaping. So as the Word of God goes out, as we have received the Word of God these last several days, it's doing a work. It's done a work in my life. I've gotten some serious nuggets, and I was telling somebody back there, I said, just can't wait to get back to Oklahoma and put it on my people, you know what I'm saying? One of the things that just made my heart explode, my mind explode, in the fact when Brother Neil was preaching, and he brought it down. Let me get the little world. And he brought it down to, this is my grandson. He brought it down to just the world that goes around him.
That's right.
So when we talk, going into all the world and preaching the gospel, and as we deal with people, dealing with them in their world, I'm like, wow, what a way to look at this thing. Just the different people in my church. I've got retirees. I've got businessmen. I've got widows. There's a different aspect of each of them that I have to deal with them differently. I have to minister to them differently because, I can get up and I can preach married, the love that, a married couple would have for each other, the intimacy. Brother Hall, when he was preaching through the Song of Solomon, and of course Song of Solomon, and it's all, the aspect of Christ in the church, and when it applied that way, my beloved, there was a lot of the intimacy that's brought out in the Song of Solomon. The married couple can understand the intimate part, where a single person can't. He can read the word and deal with what he can understand, but there are certain things that's just unspoken. But so if I stand in the pulpit and I look out to my crowd and I see the single people, I see the widowed people, I see the business people, the retired people, the aged, the young, there are a whole bunch of different worlds setting before me. I'm going, wow. And then we go out in the community.
Yep.
There's people that, since I've been out there the 3 years, just drunk. I mean, people moving out of that kind of, that's bugging me, coming out of that kind of a lifestyle. They've been coming, and I think that they've kind of turned over the new leaf and tried to push some things out on their own, but they're not saved yet. But I got to see them in their world. I've got to deal with them. And one of the things, I guess this applied with one brother going to the Spain, but he said, talking about the Jews. It's come out in conversation back there. Look, you've got to deal with a Jewish person differently because of the way that they think about religion, life. You've got to approach them a little bit differently. You've got to be wise in that.
You got to reach them in their world. And when I started applying all that to my mind, I was just like, I've been chewing on it for the last several days. I'm just like, wow, this is great. Now going back to Oklahoma and thinking about the people that I work with in their world. I got a supervisor whose husband has got some medical, cancer's come back, different places. They're dealing with that. Another co-worker's dealing with some other things. They've come to me and asked for prayer. There's been opportunities to talk about the Bible with them.
Amen.
But again, I have to understand them where they're living in their world. But then applying this passage of Scripture here, I know so it gives us the bud, which grows the plant. If you let the plant, you don't pick the fruit, you let the fruit go to seed. Then you've got the seed. Now you're going to do, if it's a, obviously it talks about the bread here, so I assume that it could be a wheat or some kind of a grain that you can grind the seed into the flour to make bread or retain some of the seed to be sown again.
Right.
And then it's one sentence, colon, verse 11. So he's taking that example here and he's applying it to the world. So shall my word be the same way. Look, it's gonna have a different effect. It'll be bread to the eater in some.
Yep.
So when I'm sitting out there this week, it was bread.
Yes,
woo! As it was preaching, it was bread to me. I'm still eating on it. I'm full up, boy. It's just full. I'm gonna be driving back with four grandkids. And maybe when it gets quiet in my truck, I'll be musing upon the things that I've heard this week and just chewing and just feasting. I mean, like I said, it's just a drink of water for me to come here this week. It was just wonderful. And as I muse on that going down I-40, that long stretch, then I'm just been fed. So it was in that aspect when I've been sitting out there listening, inclining my ear to the word, it's been bread to me.
Amen.
But on the flip side, now that I'm in this position, I'm sowing. But it's still the same word.
Amen.
It will meet your need.
That's right. That's it.
And it'll have its work, its purpose, and its purposeful work in your soul.
Amen.
In your life. And this, we all the messages, but we've already referred to Brother Neil's message. But that's what I got out of Brother Neil's message. That is what I'm like, but some other aspect of Brother Neil's message or any of the other messages that's already been preached might have spoke to somebody a little bit differently. You're eating on the other end of the cracker. I don't know. You know, like Brother Hall said, you know, who was it? Billy Kelly, that's it. If there was one soda cracker in Greenville, South Carolina, you'd find him eating on one of it, on one corner of it.
That's right.
And so that's the same thing. It's a big loaf.
Amen.
It's going to satisfy us where we're at.
Amen.
It's going to satisfy the ones that's been down the road a little while. It's going to satisfy the new ones.
Right.
It's up and coming where they're at.
Amen.
It's going to be a seed to the sower and it's going to be bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please.
Amen.
We play it on the station. We sing it in our church. He's still working on me.
Right.
To make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. And he is.
Yes, he is.
I'm still growing in places.
Right.
Spiritually and physically. Amen. And I've got some real help this week.
Amen.
I really have.
And hopefully you have too.
That's right.
But another thing too, and it goes in back into where we've just been. Look, seek Him.
Yep.
Seek the Lord while He may be found. Come into these services with an anticipation. Coming into these services with an inclination of your ear.
Amen. Good.
You know, we go back there, we expect to be fed physically.
Right.
You know, Brother Shepherd gets up here and he talks about, now we got a good meal, you know, fixed for you out back there. And so we're out here going, wow, good, I'm glad, and it's about time. And we get back there and there ain't much. You know what I'm saying? Like the very first Preacher's Fellowship Brother Hall had here. Everybody just had beans, like no meat. And he's like, here, go get some chicken. That was before I got here. There was lack of communication there. Right. Not a variety. But we go back there and there's, I mean, just an abundance. And but there's more? I'm going to need a tray, all right? Why? I'll just have a plate now. Oh, I look at it all, and wow, there's a lot there. You have an anticipation to being fed. Well, turn it around spiritually. Come in every service. We've heard it from Brother Hall. We've heard it from Brother Shepherd.
Yep.
Now you're hearing it from me. Come into the services with that anticipation. What do you have for me today, Lord? I want you to accomplish something through thy word in me.
Yep.
It shall accomplish that which I please. And if he's still working on us, I mean, Romans chapter number 8, we quote it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And that's where we stop reading. Or that's where we stop quoting. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He has a purpose in our lives. He's going to accomplish that purpose in our lives. We're going to see some of that here in just a second, and it's through His Word. So it's accomplished that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. It's going to prosper within us. John chapter 17. I was asked yesterday about preaching, and I said, not ready. I've been too busy thinking about and do not, but it really worked out because the preachers that preached yesterday, I was like, wonderful. But I did begin to look, pray, and I was directed both of these scriptures here. But again, there's so much, like has been said before, in this chapter alone. We often refer, the world especially, often refers to the Lord's Prayer as the one recorded in Matthew chapter 6. That's the model prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, so this He's praying to the Father, Father, the hour has come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee. I'm not going to go through, but again, as I was reading back through here, Lord, what do You want out of it this time? The word, and then the word truth, and then the word, you know, all these things come out. Verse number six, I have manifested Thy name unto men. This is what Christ did to men. He spoke the word.
Right.
He manifested God to men.
Right.
With His mouth. With His life. To men which thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Note, I just underlined, or highlighted word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me. Wait. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse number 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. This is not one that, but as I was reading, I'm thinking, in the world we're currently living in today, know that Christ done prayed for you that we would be kept from evil of this world that's around us. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them, Brother James Jones, and Brother Cooley, on the Truths to Live By broadcast. This is his verse. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth, which is the word. We done read that in verse 17. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in them, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So as Christ, going back to verse number 8, as Christ, or 7, 6 and 7 and 8, as Christ manifested the name of God into the world, then there was some that believed. They received and believed it. Verse number 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And what happened? Going back to the word of God, not returning it in void, accomplishing a purpose in our lives. I gave unto thee the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. We inclined our ears to the word. We sought the Lord while he may be found. And when we incline the words of Christ, we believed. Here's the purpose that was accomplished in giving out the word. So that we received him and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So he believed on Christ because of Christ's words that God had given him, and he manifested it, and he spoke these things. So upon believing these words, then, so we believed, we received, believed. Verse 17, we are sanctified. This is what God wants to do. He's still working on us. He's conforming us to the image of his Christ. To the image of his son, sanctify, there's many different definitions. I pulled out two, cleanse and make holy.
Amen.
So we're to cleanse our lives and make ourselves holy and be ye holy for I am holy, Peter tells us. And walk in that way. But I like this one here, especially in light of the missions conference. To purify, to prepare for divine service. Jesse come over this morning, and Logan had been helping, spending the night, several nights through the week, and I asked Jesse, I said, you want some coffee? He said, sure. So I made a half pot of coffee, and I had my cup. I looked around, I said, well, there's the one that Logan's been using, so just wash that, and you can use it. So he washed it. Why? Because Logan, I mean, he's his nephew, but you know what I'm saying? Logan been drinking out of it. For several days. So he washes it. He sanctified this for use.
Right.
He purified it for use.
Right.
You know, and as the word goes out, sometimes we're well, the Holy Spirit will point out sin in our lives through the word. And then we come and we repent of that sin and we sanctify us. Why? For a divine purpose. To be used in His service. And we're to keep ourselves that way as much as possible. Because you could look it up and you say, I'm not going to use that. It's dirty. Well, God looks at us sometimes, oh no, they done got that in their life. And they got that in their life. They done went near. They're tarnished.
Yep.
All through the Old Testament, when the children of Israel backslid and got away from God and started serving idols, one of the sanctify. You had to sanctify the house of God, sanctify the vessels of God, sanctify the priest of God. Go cleanse yourselves.
Yep.
Same thing happens to us. Washing of the feet was dealt with in these services. Peter said, "Not just my feet, but all of me." But only his feet was what was dirty.
Right.
And so, from time to time, we do have to sanctify ourselves
right. Through
the Word.
Amen.
This is what keeps us clean. And so the Word will do this. We received it. We believe that Jesus Christ was sent by God.
Amen.
The only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we receive that everlasting life. But then we sanctify ourselves unto His service. What? Through the Word that's going to accomplish something in us. And then finally, everybody's like, wow. What happens when we do that? Verse number 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Here it is. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. We're to take. Christ came, He manifested God and His words that God had given Him. We believe and we sanctify ourselves, become vessels
right. Purified
for His service
right. So
that we can go out with the same word
Amen. And
we can manifest it that others might believe it. And if that
right. Ain't
what missions is all about.
It is what it's about. Yes, sir.
Evangelism in our neighborhoods. Brother Blue's been quoted, and I know other people probably before Brother Blue said it, but you know, it's not just across the seas, and it could be across the state, but it could be across the street.
Right.
And again, but He's going to only use a sanctified vessel.
Amen.
Something that's clean.
Yep.
And if we will incline our ear and seek the Lord while He may be found, I know that lots of times is applied to salvation, but He's talking to Israel about cleaning their ways up
right. In
Isaiah 55. And if we make application to us, and it's cleaning our ways up, that we come in, incline our ears, seeking the Lord, allowing the Word of God to accomplish what He wants in us, so that we can go out with a witness,
yep.
And others would come to Christ
Amen.
Because of our witness.
Amen.
And that's the thoughts the Lord gave me today. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You and praise You, dear God, for Your love and Your mercy and Your graces, Lord, for helping me. I pray, Lord, for Brother Bryant, and not only today, tomorrow, Lord. Thank You for all that You've done in my heart and life this week through the Word of God. I pray that You'll continue to just work on me and to give me and make me all that I can be for the glory of God. I pray and ask that You'll take the message and use it, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.